Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Coach D, the Wild Man, coming at you again with another episode of MMA Fight Camp. You know how I do it. I run my mouth talking about all things MMA. As you know, I have been doing a podcast called Are You in the Game? And what it's basically been designed to do is teach people, as far as MMA fighters and MMA fans, where you're at when it comes to social media, personal branding, reaching your target audience, and, you know, staying up to date at where you should be in your MMA career. You know, it's one thing to have a great fighting record inside the cage, but if nobody knows about it, if nobody's talking about it, is nobody's continuing to talk about your name, are you successful when it comes to your career? You may have a great, stellar fight record, but are you making more money because of it? Are you going to bigger shows? Are the right people looking at you? And that's the question that I've been sending out to everybody and asking on a regular basis. Are you in the game? And that's really what it comes down to. So what I went and done is got my road dog, my man, James Crawford, who is a digital marketer, and he's going to explain to you what are some of the things that you should be doing and understanding about the digital marketing and social media world in order to build your name and brand yourself from a personal standpoint and a professional standpoint. So that's what's going to be going on today. Ashley is ready to go on right now. What's going on, James?
I'm good, man. How are you? Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, that's what we do. Now, give you a backstory. You know, me and James, we do know each other. Ain't like we're strangers. You know, so we do know each other. We've been working behind the scenes as kind of figures things out to help fighters. So I know you've been seeing Coach D running my mouth and talking a whole bunch of junk, but I am passionate about helping fighters become successful, not only from a physical standpoint as, you know, training and so on and so forth, but building your brand so that you're more successful. So James is, me and him been partnered up behind the scenes doing some things, so he's not a stranger. All right, let's get back into it. James, give the fans a little bit of history about yourself.
Oh, man. Well, I've been in the game for about 10 years now. Corporate background, got tired of that grind, as everyone does eventually, and kind of stepped out on my own and started looking at this whole game of marketing and how we capitalize on attention and how you build businesses and brands. And I started looking at it and trying to see where I fit into the mix. And over the past few years, what I've really tried to focus on is helping creators, entertainers, you know, artists, authors, and now switching gears into the fight game. I've been a Brazilian jiu-jitsu competitor for a little bit of time now, on hiatus right now, but looking at the fight game, I noticed there was so much money being left on the table, so much opportunity out there for these fighters going into these lower level promotions to ramp their game up on social media, ramp their game up on building their personal brand to where hopefully they get that call from the big promotion, or at the very least, they're squeezing every last little bit of money that they can out of the hard work that they're putting into the mats, into the cage.
Got you. Okay, like I said, we both come the same world, competition. So we understand the competition aspect of it, the sport aspect of it. But I don't think a lot of fighters understand the business aspect of it and the personal branding aspect of it. So my question is, from a social media standpoint, are fighters really reaching their fan base? Are they really, you know, they know how to target their fans?
You know, it's really, they're not. Most fighters are not. And it's really a good thing for anybody who's listening to this.
Yeah.
Overall, we would like to see more fighters connecting with their fans. And as a fan myself, I would love to see, to have that connection with my favorite fighters that you just couldn't have 10 years ago.
Gotcha.
And so if you are a fighter and you're listening to this, or you're a competitor in any space, there is this wide open space for you to go out there and capitalize on this opportunity. 2017, you have tools, you have training, you have resources such as myself and Coach D out there, passionate about the fight game, passionate about helping helping you take things to another level, because it helps everyone, promoters, sponsors, people who are on our side of the game, and ultimately the fighters, if everyone is on the same page and pushing to build that business and build that brand.
Gotcha. And like I said, when, because only when you look at the landscape of MMA fighters and what they do and how they do it, I think there's such a huge disconnect and of what makes an MMA fighter successful. Like, if you look at Conor McGregor, he's one of the icons of the MMA sports right now. You know, and people go, well, how did he become so successful? How is he, you know, making so much money? How is he everywhere, you know, as far as being successful? But his fight record is not that long. He hasn't been in the game that long. And in a short amount of time, he has reached such a high level. So can you explain the difference between a target audience and a niche market? Are they both the same or are they different?
So I kind of look at this from a standpoint of the fact that fighting is not mainstream in the traditional sense of the word. We look at football, baseball, all these other sports, and they probably tend to be, from the average person, more mainstream. MMA still kind of has this rebel viewpoint, almost like it's like a counterculture thing, although it is becoming more and more mainstream. And I try to look at everything that I always try to look at something that's most perceived as a negative and try to flip it to the positive. So if we're looking at this idea of MMA being a niche market, while at the same time having broad appeal, that's actually a benefit because you are able to, as a fighter, have a deeper connection with your audience. I know athletes in some sports don't have that luxury. They don't have that passionate following. You may have a few standout stars, but who is passionate about an offensive lineman?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen like that. In MMA, every single fighter has an opportunity, whether it's through being an amazing knockout artist or just being slick on the mat with their submissions or even being an average fighter who has a pretty damn good record and is continuing to progress, but they spend the time showing love to their fans and they're interacting with them, helping build that niche market into, inevitably, one day MMA is going to be incredibly mainstream, and we're probably right there on the edges of it now.
Yeah. And I would agree with you. You know, there is no way that a Conor McGregor could be such the star that he is without social media, you know. And I know you've been watching, like I've been watching, the Floyd Mayweather and you know, Conor McGregor, you know, mega promotion and, you know, and conference that they've been doing all over the place. And there's been a lot of back and forth about who's more popular and who's more successful, you know. And I had to, you know, and I had to break it down from eras, you know. Floyd Mayweather is from the era before social media. So look how popular he has become without it. You know what I'm saying? Before, you know, YouTube was common and Facebook was common and Instagram was common. You know what I'm saying? He had to basically go door to door and sell his brand, where TV was the only media and platform that he had to show himself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. After TV went off, you know, if it wasn't a magazine and it wasn't a newspaper or it wasn't some way to capture his image or hear him speak or whatever, you know, people couldn't reach out like they can in the Conor McGregor era, where Twitter was big, you know, Facebook is big, YouTube is big, Instagram is big. So he was able to do in 4 years what it took Floyd Mayweather to do in, you know, 10, 15, and 20, because we weren't up to that level that Conor McGregor is now. So Conor McGregor is talking like, hey, I'm a bigger star. No, you just had more opportunities that wasn't available back in the day for Floyd Mayweather.
And he had the wind at his back with it. The coolest thing about utilizing social media, to use your example, you know, when he was Pretty Boy Floyd, he had to do that, like the door-to-door thing, but he didn't have the advocates of the fans. It was all word of mouth. It was, you know, this weekend we're going to watch him fight. And so people would get together and watch him fight. Whereas now, you as a fighter, Conor McGregor as a fighter, he can say something and it gets retweeted by thousands of people. It gets shared on Facebook, all of this stuff. So he has his fans that are doing the work for him.
Yep.
Meaning that he doesn't have to spend a ton of money on like, he doesn't spend any money. The UFC is probably behind him. But as a fighter, you really lower your cost of advertising if you were to share your content and boost it and put money behind it by having this engaged, passionate fan base who will go out and spread your message for you, or spread your fighting style. And that really, over the long term, creates momentum to where you can become someone like a Conor McGregor or any of these really high level stars that got their name off of social media.
And that actually brings up a good point. Do you think today's MMA fighters are outdated when it comes to their education on how to use the social media platforms to be successful? I mean, are they using Facebook correctly? Are they using Twitter correctly, Instagram correctly, YouTube correctly, so that they're able to capitalize on growing their fan base and monetizing their brand as a fighter? Now, from my opinion, I don't see it. A lot of them are just doing it just because, you know, and they feel that since it's a free platform, that it's supposed to just handle itself, when they don't recognize that the social media platform is still a business managed by business owners to promote marketing and advertising and ads and so forth. Do you think fighters are not getting that?
Yeah, I think most everyone is outdated when it comes to marketing, when it comes to social media. And a lot of it's no fault of their own. It moves so fast. You need to be plugged into something. You need to, even if you're just searching YouTube videos or reading articles, they're all over the internet, or listening to podcasts like this one, you need to be soaking it up because it changes so fast, because it advances so fast. And it's also, I understand, as a fighter, you're out there training all day.
Yeah.
And then you know, if you have an event coming up, you may be doing a little bit of press here and there. But the question is, what are you doing with that press?
Yeah.
What are you doing with these videos that you have? How are you maximizing your time if you're in the gym and you have an iPhone and you can get one of your friends to record some of it, or just a little breakdown of what the training camp is going like? These little things are gold to fans. They love it. They eat it up and they share it. I mean, I look at it like this. I see a lot of fighters and a lot of people, entertainers in general, they just post, like you said, just to check the box. Like, oh, I posted on Facebook. I'm present.
Yeah. Cool.
That's good. But I'm making an analogy like this. There's only so many days you're going to go home and just give your wife a pet kiss on the cheek and say, hey, and just walk into another room before she's going to get pissed off. Like, you've got to show some love and there's got to be heart behind it. And you've got to really be attentive to the other side of the relationship. In this case, your fans. Ask them, what do they want, and give it to them.
Gotcha. And that, you know, and that is very true. Engagement is what makes a relationship work. If you're not engaging with your fans on a regular basis, then your actual relationship will go stale and they will eventually leave you. Like, you know, I've been watching, I'm a big fan of old school shows like West Wing. I watch another show called Newsroom. And what I like about these shows is all about the dialogue, you know, how they engage back and forth with the person they're speaking to. And a lot of people, fighters that I see on Facebook, don't have dialogue. All they have is, I shared it, and that's about it. That's where they leave it at, you know? And they expect fans to go, hey, man, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? But that's not how the courtship works. You know, if you're not talking to them, it's a good chance they're not talking back.
Right,
I agree with you on that one. But let me ask you a question. From your standpoint, is there a difference between entertainment fan that's just, they're just engaging for the entertainment of it, or a sports fan who's like, okay, hey, I'm following my favorite team no matter where they go or what they do, I'm following. Is there a difference between an entertainment fan and a sports fan? Because I think, you know, as a ride or die sports person, like football, baseball, basketball, we follow it no matter where it goes, no matter what it's doing. But I think with the MMA and like UFC and the landscape, it's their highs and lows because a lot of it's based off entertainment. What is your take on that?
We can't deny that MMA has shifted more within the last few years to more of a pro wrestling style mentality. And I'm cool with that because it is entertaining and it is interesting. And there are enough fighters out there. There's enough attention on MMA for there to be all kinds of personalities. You can be somebody like an epic shit talker like Conor McGregor, or you can be a traditional martial artist like George St. Pierre, or you can be an out there guy like Clay Guida with the long hair traveling across the country in the RV. There's just so much opportunity for you to be who you are out there. And people do, I think they do tune in for the entertainment aspect. It's what gets them fired up. And you do have people that generally, if you're going to have somebody who's a pure sports fan in MMA, they are a practitioner themselves. They train jujitsu, or they've done wrestling in high school, or they do kickboxing as like a weekend warrior thing. And they appreciate the sport of it. They appreciate the art of it. Your average person doesn't do that. So what is it that's going to pull them into the cage with you? What is it that's going to put eyes on you? I'm not saying you got to go out there and be Conor McGregor and be somebody you're not.
Yeah.
But telling your story, whether you're Tyron Woodley, who's a relatively reserved guy, you know, telling your story and being present and being willing to engage really ramps up that entertainment factor. Entertainment's not all about, just crazy explosions and stuff. Back to your point about the dialogue in a TV show. Yeah. Explosions are interesting, but the dialogue is the depth of it. And that's what latches people onto you long-term. And you'll create a fan base that will ride with you even after your career.
I definitely agree with you on that. And that's really something that's not taught, that's not explained, and a lot of people simply don't understand it. Like, you know, I talk to fighters, you know, on Facebook, so on and so forth, and I just listen to their response, and a lot of their response is emotional. You know, they're simply like, you know, oh, Conor's not going to do this, Floyd's not going to do that, and then they're cussing and carrying on, and you can almost feel the passion in their words about how deeply they want to get their opinion on the situation. And I don't think fighters realize how important that engagement is to that fan for long-term success.
But absolutely. Yeah. And it's passionate engagement, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not the same thing as some other sports. It's gas that's waiting to go in your tank. You got an empty tank. These fans are that fuel. They're wanting to pour into you. So you got to go out there and get it and engage with them.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. So let's take that into a business model. Okay. Like I said, what we do, you know, we do content marketing, digital media, you know, digital marketing. We do all the things that lay out the foundation for growth so that you have more financial opportunities. So explaining to fighters what it means to learn how to have a business with your personal brand, what kind of conversations, you as a digital marketer, what kind of conversations would you have with them to understand the difference between just clicking send and modeling it for response?
I would say, you know, if we're looking at this from a business model, you really want to start thinking long-term. And I know it's hard to do, especially if you're a younger guy getting in the game. If you're 20, 21, it's just, I mean, not throwing shade at you. It's just that's just not your main priority right now. But again, that's a beautiful place to be, because if you're that 20 or 21 year old that is doing this and no one else is doing it, you're the one that's going to be seen. You're the one that's going to get the pay raise or get a higher signing bonus or whatever it is, or better sponsors. I think if I were to advise someone to take like some first steps, it really would be to start becoming knowledgeable and laying out your plan and your framework, create the content, become very visible with content, and cultivate a community. You think if you're in your hometown and you are a guitar player, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do? You start going out to local bars and you start playing there and you start building a fan base and you talk mm-hmm. to those people. What are the favorite songs they like to hear from you? Mm-hmm. Cool. Same thing here. You go to these local promotions and you go to multiple ones. Don't just fight for one. Go out and try to be as visible as possible and be as approachable and personable as possible. Mm-hmm. And the other side of it, if you have to understand that if you're not willing to do this, that's fine. Yeah. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But if you are the person that wants a long-term career in this game, to expect that and not be willing to do this mm-hmm. is ludicrous and absurd. It's very rare for someone in 2017 to get exposure based on how good they are. Yeah. You've got to be good and you've got to be showing people how good you are.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And that's pretty much in a nutshell. You have to show how good you are. And it's completely lost on fighters. Like, you know, give me an example. I mean, what you already know, you know, I deal with a lot of promotions from, you know, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, you know, I'm all over. And I hear fighters, you know, has so much of a high expectation from that promoter going, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. And then they get frustrated that a promoter doesn't. So a promoter will come back at him and go, hey, look, you know, how many tickets can you sell? You know what I'm saying? You know, how many people can you get to come see you fight? And a lot of fighters can't really sell tickets, you know, so that asks the actual question, if you're popular, but yet nobody wants to buy a ticket to come see you fight, what does it say about your popularity? Are you misreading yourself? Just because you have 500 people who liked your page, are they 500 people that actually interact with you on a regular basis? And that's the disconnect. A promoter is not responsible for your branding. They're responsible for selling that show. And that's the education when it comes to digital marketing and salesmanship and personal branding that gets you to those paydays to where you're making more money by ticket sales and things like that. And that's what we're getting at when it comes to personal branding. Would you agree?
Absolutely, man. I think part of it is that some of these fighters are not aware of what is out there. Yeah. It's a lack of awareness. It's not a lack of hard work. I mean, if you're willing to step in the cage, I mean, you obviously are someone who is willing to put in the work. Mm-hmm. It's adding this extra layer to your fight game. You spend all this time on the mat trying to figure out the best way to set up an omoplata. Mm-hmm. Spend some time reading, spend some time consuming this content and stop leaving that part out. There are sponsors out there who have budgets that are looking for places to put that money. All you have to do is go out, grab it, and show that they're going to get a return on that investment through eyes on you. Mm-hmm. And the more and more you start doing it, it's just like anything else. You're going to incrementally get better. You're going to stop leaving money on the table. You're going to stop having the money fall out of your pockets when you could be, every single fight that you have, you could be earning more and more money through sponsorships, through getting paid more by the promotion, and who knows what other opportunities will open up from there.
Yeah.
Movie roles, speaking gigs. It's endless if you get out here and you get in the game.
Exactly. And that is to give you, hey, fight fans and fighters, to give you an example of how much more we can go when it comes to not only personal branding, not only other opportunities to make more money, okay? Every other sport from football, baseball, basketball, you name it, every other sport that's from an athletic standpoint has some kind of deep connection to supplementation, which means they have supplement sponsors, everybody, sports apparel, anything athletic related. Most other sports have a lot of sponsors from that arena. MMA is so brand new that even supplement sponsorships is still just now getting in the game. So saying this, you're an athlete and you not only can perform, you not only have the look, you have everything that a supplement sponsor will be interested in, but since the branding is so far apart, they can't even see the connection yet. Mm. So those are doors that can be opened very easily if you just understand the digital marketing game from a personal standpoint and a branding standpoint. So you see where we're getting at?
That's it, man. I mean, you also bring up that an important point, how everyone, if you are, if you're on the mat, you're always looking for that thing to supplement your game. You mm-hmm. said supplementing, and it kind of turned me on to something you had said before, where you always have a coach for whatever you're missing in yeah. your game. If mm-hmm. you are a jiu-jitsu specialist, and you realize that your stand-up is lacking, you may bring in a kickboxing coach. You may bring in a Muay Thai expert. Mm-hmm. You need some wrestling help. You might bring in wrestling coach. Mm-hmm. This is no different. Yeah. You need someone out there, whether you're going out and finding the information yourself, or you hire someone to do it, or you take a course, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You need to be doing that, because that is just the thing that's going to help you do what you do at a higher level. You want that call from the UFC eventually. You want to be on Bellator. You want to get on Dana White's Contender Series. This is how you do it.
Yep. And as you hear fighters and fans, you know, James Crawford has made the perfect point. You have to be taught. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between knowing and understanding. A lot of people may know a lot, but do they understand how it works? Do they understand where to go with it? They'll understand what's the next step, what to do day by day, what's your actual plan, daily, weekly, monthly, or even hourly. What is your plan to be successful branding yourself to that next level, so the people that you need to see you can see you? A lot of things I see on social media, I don't necessarily cringe, but you know, I wish a lot of fighters had more understanding. What they would do on social media, they will post looking for a sponsor, hit me up, okay? As if sponsors are driving around on social media and go, hey, I'm looking for this guy. That's not necessarily how it works, okay? Usually, sponsors have set up a certain landscape that you must reach before you even hit their radar, which means if you're in the game, they will see you. If you're not in the game, they won't see you. And that's what I think a lot of fighters are missing the mark on. Sponsors are not waiting around, you know, for you to come see them. You must rise to the level so that they notice you. And that's really what it comes down to. But like I said, James made a perfect point. Without coaches, it's hard to get educated. I'm saying you can't get educated on your own, but there's very few independent MMA fighters. There's a lot of fighters that are part of camps. Why are they part of camps? Because that's where the coaches are. They're part of gyms because that's where the coaches are. There's very few fighters who do it on their own, who train themselves. They pretty much hire coaches, which leads into my next conversation. It's going to be what me and James have been developing. Like I said before, me and James been behind the scenes, do a lot of things to help MMA fighters get to the next level from a personal branding and being able to reach sponsors and get picked up by more people who are willing to pay for their particular skill set, look, appearance, and reach. So without that reach, the value may not be there. So me and James have created a course which is called Fight Camp University. You know, what Fight Camp University does, it's going to teach fighters how to be more brandable from digital marketing and social media. What steps you're supposed to take, how you're supposed to take it, and what system you're supposed to do on a regular basis to be successful. So, James, I'll let you talk from a digital marketing point, and then I will talk from this social marketing point. So explain what digital marketing means to a fighter.
So I always think of it, to break it down in a simple way as possible, because as a fighter, you have a lot going on. You have a lot of expectations. that you put on yourself. You have a lot of expectations that your family puts on you. And to Coach D's point, there is information out there. You can cobble it together from the far reaches of the internet if you want. What we have done is we have taken all of the best information and the things that have been proven to work, the things that have worked with my clients and the things that Coach D has made work, and put them all together into something that's going to be easy for you to consume and allow you to be very quickly go out and take action and see results. I look at social media, just marketing in general, branding in general, as two things. In 2017 is content and community. If you are creating compelling, shareable, interesting content that tells your story and makes a connection to someone, and you cultivate that community through dialogue and conversation, there's no telling how far that can take you. At the bare minimum, you are going to be leagues beyond your peers. You're going to have everybody else in the fight camp wondering why the hell they're not getting sponsorships and why you are. And it's going to put you on a trajectory to really help you see and realize that which you always have wanted through the MMA career. It's about making connections with people. It's about making connections with your fans. It's also about making connections with people in the industry and continuing to cultivate that over the long term. And that's my whole philosophy on it. Just content and community. If you can cover those two bases in a powerful way, you're on top of the game.
Yeah. And he's 100% correct. And he made the key point, content. And tagged with community. You know what I'm saying? How you engage in an area that everybody is talking about the same thing. That's creating that community. But what he means by content, which is what I focus on as Coach D, is what you're putting out there. You know, just taking a snapshot doesn't mean that it tells a story. You know what I'm saying? You must take the right type of shot from a photography standpoint and have the right type of video. That's correct content. Because understanding it's an algorithm of reach that you're reaching your fan base with a story that they want to listen to. So if you take a picture that goes, oh, it has nothing to do with what their interest is, it doesn't get shared, it doesn't get liked, it doesn't get tagged, it doesn't get retweeted or whatever the case may be, simply because it's not an interesting picture. You know, just because you have a nice smile, I mean, you have a nice smile to everybody. And that's what Fight Camp University is teaching you what all that means and how to be consistent with it on a daily basis. Because just like training in the gym and preparing for a fight, it's a grind. It's an everyday grind. You're going to get bumps and bruises. You're going to get sore. And then you have to get up and do it all again the next day. Social media is no different. It's a grind. You have to build that momentum. Once that momentum is built, you just got to keep it on a regular basis. So being a part of Fight Camp University, you will get exactly that. And there's phases. There's a beginning phase where you simply understand the basics of the foundation of it. And then there's next levels. There's that immediate level, then there's the advanced level. So we have plenty to give you. You're not going to all get it in one day. It's going to be a way for us to teach you along. It's like going to any school. We're going to guide you towards that success. So definitely get ready for Fight Camp University. That's what's coming down the line. And so you'll be going to fightcampuniversity.com and you'll be able to, like I said, submit your name and email so we can let you know when the class is going to begin. And we also see how many people are going to have in the class. So that's what's coming down. There's a lot to go over. So this is the first phase of what's going to happen next. But I want James, leave the fighters and fight fans with something good that they can take with a day and go, hey, where can we start?
So if I could say one thing, and the thing that I see from everyone in any businesses, even if you're a plumber down the street, this applies to everyone, fighters especially. There's no content that you're going to put out unless you say something incendiary or just wrong or controversial. There's no piece of content that you're going to put out that's going to turn your fan base off. And what I mean by that is you're not going to be, don't worry about not having the correct equipment. We'll get to that. We'll advise you on that. We'll help you with that as well. But the most important thing is to just get started. Like, I would encourage you today, while you're training, through some point of your training, pull out your phone and make a video. You don't have to share it, because everybody's different, and not everybody is that guy that's on the camera and is brash, you know, or even just willing to do it. But make a video and start feeling it out, because you need to be creating content. You're invisible if you're not creating content in 2017. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the thing I want to leave you with is something is better than nothing. We all know this. But are you putting that into action? Are you out there creating something that you can build, you can use as a foundation to come back to Coach D and I and let us help you build that foundation into a solid strategy and platform for which you can launch and take things to a higher level?
Mm-hmm. And I will add on to that is where this whole podcast started from is, are you in the game? Is your mentality geared towards being successful as an MMA fighter, or are you just showing up to see what happens? Like James says, you have to start from somewhere, which means get on your phone and start recording content. Then we'll guide you along on how to make that content work for you and how to get better with your content, how to take it to the next level so that more people are seeing it, sharing it, liking it, tweeting it, and responding to what you're doing as your fight fan. Because once again, they're your fans. What you do with it is where, how long they will stay with you and where they will go with you. Because like I said, like I always say, if a fight fan is not invested in you, are they a fan? You know, are they buying a ticket? Are they buying a t-shirt? Are they sharing, you know, what you're doing? Are they talking to you on social media? That's a fan. Somebody who just likes 20 different things from 20 different people, you know, every day, are they a real fan, or are they just click happy? That's what you'll learn with, you know, the Fight Camp University. It will teach you to know the difference, to go, okay, these are people who are on my team, and these are people who are just hanging out. You know, people who hang out come and go. People who are on your team stay with you whether you're winning or losing. But that's where we're going. So get ready to check your inbox, because Fight Camp University is coming on the scene. You're going to see exactly what we're going to be doing. You will not miss a beat. I guarantee it, because that's what we do with not only Fight Camp promotion, but not with James Crawford. James, tell us about your business. Is Zen?
Zen Focus Media. So I created it for, mostly focusing on local businesses, and then expanded it into artists, entertainers, and now fighters. Doing the podcasting, that is an example of creating content. So now I'm refocusing in so that we can bring fightcampuniversity.com to you, and so that we can really utilize, and you can see as an example, watch us as an example, what we do, and take it deeper through Fight Camp University. And that's really the foundation of it all. It's really about watching us and letting us help you take things to another level.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Of course, me and James could do this all day, because this is exactly what we do. But we wanted to give you this, you know, final episode to let everybody know what's getting ready to come down the line and what you can prepare for the future. Because bottom line, it's dog eat dog is not necessarily the correct word, because there's a lot to go around, but you're jumping into a deep pool when you get into social media. You know, you can swim all day, every day, and still won't nobody see you. Just think of you in the ocean. If you jumped off your boat in the middle of the ocean, nobody will see you until somebody happens to be driving by on their boat and they happen to actually catch you because they were going in that direction. Okay.
And so if you had a flare gun, we're the flare gun to help you.
There you go.
Get seen.
And he nailed it with the flare gun. I mean, he's still my thunder, man, but that's what's up. All right, we're about to wrap this up. This is Coach D with another episode of Are You In The Game? So the next thing that's going to happen next, you're going to see Fight Camp University podcast talk about let's get ready to do this daggone thing so that you can come to the, you can get to the next level on social media and digital marketing. You're going to see it from James Crawford and Coach D doing it on a regular basis with the university. All right. This is what I got. This is what I do. This is how I do it. This is Coach D calling it like it is. Final episode of Are You In The Game? And with my host, James Crawford, the myth, the man, the legend, he's going to be riding with us all the way through on what we do next. All right, this is Coach D. Follow me on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. Keep it going. Until you hear from me again, peace out.
Yeah.